Go to Mark 11. Entire Jewish corpus at the time of Christ, there were different segments of people. The Zealots, of course, wanted to kick out Rome. The Sadducees were the leaders, and they were the ones that were trying to keep this temple sacrifice system going. For the Sadducees, they had to have a temple. The Pharisees were the beginning of synagogue Judaism, and they were, from the very early part, said that recognizing the sacrifices was tantamount to doing them, which is crazy. But anyway. So when Jesus said, he's just now, well, let's go to verse 17.
That's
Matthew.
The first time I've ever understood synagogue Judaism. A thousand times you've said it.
It's the same as Christianity, synagogue Judaism.
Yeah, it's the belief system without the temple, without the structure.
And it's also without the Messiah.
Without the Messiah, it's all in your head.
The same as Christianity, it's without the Messiah. Jesus came. He's going to come someday, but he's not here now.
Okay. So let's do a little church
it's without blood.
But anyway, Jesus had an interesting view of the. Ever since the first temple was destroyed, at the time of by the Babylonians, the elements inside the Holy of Holies weren't there. I mean, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there, the manna wasn't there, the Aaron's rod wasn't there, the tables of the Ten Commandments weren't there, the mercy seat wasn't there, the cherubim weren't there, because they'd all been. And so from Jesus' standpoint, the house or the temple was not a temple of sacrifice, which the Sadducees tried to keep up that image but they couldn't have, you understand, if the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there, then there couldn't be a sacrificial system. It could only be this ruse that inside the temple, in this place that you never saw, and the high priest only went in there once a year, then they kept up this ruse, that there was something going on in there.
Kept up a what?
Ruse.
You mean like a ruse? Is that what you're saying?
I thought it was pronounced ruse, but that's all right.
I mean,
the ruse, the trickery, the facade.
Yeah, I think it's facade.
The facade. And the facade. And he had just cursed the fig tree, and then in verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? He never called the temple the place of sacrifice. It wasn't, because, you know, and all the prophets said that. Your sacrifices and your offerings I would not. They're a stench into my nostrils, because the whole system had fallen apart when the temple was destroyed by Babylon and the Ark of the Covenant was destroyed or taken away, wherever it is. So it's in, you got to see in Jesus' mind, this temple, this house, was supposed to be a house of prayer, not a house of sacrifice. And they had made it into a house of commerce, a den of thieves. You got it? Everybody understand all this? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And he had cursed it just the evening before. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto them, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away.
Sorry.
How sorry are you?
Going to ring in just a second.
Turn it off.
I know. That's a great offense. But if it rang, it is greater.
He hadn't figured out how to put it on fiber yet.
I did yesterday.
So that's the last time that's going to happen? But Jesus didn't respond. He did one of these things. They said something to him, and he responded by something totally different as normal. Again, now, before we were so rudely interrupted, in verse 21, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Actually, what it says is, have the faith of God. It's the literal translation of the Greek. Have the faith of God. Now, what a mind-blowing thing to say. The fig tree you cursed just went away. You just cleansed the temple. Have the faith of God. Now, what does that mean? We live in everything about us, we have been conditioned to live in a closed system. We had to learn how to make these grunts and groans mean something, and how to make these scribbles on a piece of paper mean something, and we had this societal alliance that agreed that they would all mean that. And everything about everything you've ever learned has a basis of cause and effect. If I do this, then this will happen. If I don't do this, then that won't happen, or whatever it is. So the whole system, we live in a closed system. And it's like a... It's back to this thing, a fish trying to describe the ocean. And the idea of us seeing that there is any other way of living besides in this closed system is an incredible, unbelievable issue. Because what we do when we become believers, no matter how much we say it, if once we become believers, then we expect the things we expect, then that God will fix our lives. And it's evident. No matter how many words are taught that this isn't the purpose of the cross, it isn't the purpose of his resurrection, it isn't the purpose of Pentecost, so that God would fix your lives, that's what you still believe. And you make judgments about your life based on this whole thing of how it's going for you, whether or not you feel well. Whether or not there's some little movement outside the room that grabs your attention. We can't imagine that the gospel is an invasion. It invaded us so that there is no longer any breath given to the closed system. We live in a wholly different manner of life. We must now live by only having the faith of God. We are crucified with Christ, and nevertheless we live, yet it's not us that live, but Christ that liveth in us. Christ is the only one that has the faith of God. So we must slowly but surely time after time, over and over and over, it seems like, until we come to a recognition that God's stuff is not about this world. It's not about fixing the world. It's not about evangelizing the world. It's not about anything that has to do with what we can sense or see or know or feel or touch. It's about something else. Does anybody have a response so far? You've heard me say this a million times, but it doesn't penetrate.
Yeah, Jesus wasn't much of an evangelist. He drove everybody away.
Of course. He's not about...
It wasn't about that.
You got to hear this. To be a believer isn't to be an improved Adam. To be a believer is to be a dead Adam. He was the last Adam. He was Adam is just a name for the human race. If Jesus Christ was the last Adam, who are you? And you've got to get out of your head that you can't base anything about your life based on your sensory perception of life. It is not about that. You've heard me talk about many, many times about the church in Thessalonica and Saloniki. They were believers less than a year, and yet it said their faith echoed throughout all of time and space. That their faith is changing you. Now the reason is, it says that the disciples, the 12, these small group of insignificant people turned the world upside down. They didn't turn the world upside down by establishing better principles of life or how better political systems or Christian businessmen or Christian anything. They turned the world upside down by their faith in recognizing that on the Feast of Pentecost the world was turned upside down, that heaven came down and met us, and now it's our only reality. And the faith of God declares the words of Christ. It is finished. You are perfect. It is exactly as it should be. Everything that has happened to you has happened by Him to bring you finally to a point where you can totally have the faith of God. And you stop this incessant judgment about whether or not your life is going well by what you can perceive. That is not the faith of God. That is the faith of man. And the faith of man is worthless. It's as common as dirt. To every man has been given the measure of faith. But you must see that we have been invaded by an outside force that has a will and a way of its own, that doesn't need your help, in fact, cannot use your help. That life that we've been invaded by is from the other side, from eternity, from the place where there is no time. And that life has a will and a way and its own strength. And it's all He wants from you is your emptiness. Never again concerned with what to do. Never again concerned with how to fix something. Never again concerned with how to respond to something. Because you've abandoned yourself. Now, in this life, this, again, you've heard me say it, but hear this. John saw the New Jerusalem, heaven, descending as a bride prepared for her husband. Paul called the New Jerusalem the mother of us all. If you honor or give breath to only your father and your mother, it shall be well with you, and the days will be long upon the land, not the earth, the promised land. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the empty, for they shall inherit the land. Not this crappy piece of land. Not this earth by which the whole thing is groaning and travailing. But the new land. the land, it's all peace, all love, all joy, all completeness. But your mind has to be renewed to see it. And it doesn't... Somebody get me a cup of coffee. The whole system of your thought process, of all of our thought processes, it had to go to the end. If you haven't seen by now that the end of your thought process is only that you are sin, not that you do sin, you are sin. So you calculate and you connive and you move and all based on sensory perception. We're not about that. We're about having the faith of God. Well, then what do I do? Well, the asking of the question proves you don't understand. The asking of the question proves that you're still walking according to the course of this world, judging your life by the standards of that closed system. Is this communicating to anybody? Andrew, what do you think about all this?
I'm not sure you'd want to know.
I wouldn't have asked if I didn't want to know.
Well,
I'm not shy.
For myself, this is heaven. I exist in heaven.
You're right.
But I got there a different way than you did.
How did you get there?
It just happened. But this context, well, I mean, there was meditation involved and things like that, but it was really just a choice. Actually, if in heaven, my only job is to be happy, and once I'm happy, no matter what happens, whether someone comes and kills me, if I'm still happy, I'm still in heaven. So I'm in heaven in this moment, and everything around me reflects that. And no matter what it is, it's still beautiful and pure and good.
Well, then we're not in a disagreement.
Okay.
All I'm saying to you is that we got there because of what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. In many separate ways, in many separate revelations, a portion of the truth was revealed even to the Aquarian gospel. I'm sorry, that was big.
Finally starting to see.
But the fullness of the truth is revealed in a being, a person. And that person has to be, he is truth. He's not going to show you truth. Truth can only be that which isn't affected by the passage of time. And if it's not affected by the passage of time, it's certainly not affected by circumstances. But we, instead of having the faith of God, we have the faith of man. And therefore we try to use faith to get something done. And as long as we do, we're still operating in the closed system. It's critical to you, finally, to come to the understanding it is finished. You have been perfected by one offering. The only thing that's going on in time and space is antagonism to find out whether there's anything that can take you away from that place. That's it. Especially dangerous are those things, that religious things, because that's the hardest lie to break through.
It all kind of comes down to the point of, as you speak, and then the question asked, now what do I do? Now I've heard this. I agree with it. Okay, well, let's get on with it and do something to make it real. And that's the mind's only, that's all it can do is respond that way.
The gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean you live a long, long time. It means there's no time at all. It's, you live in a place, your real entity, your identity, is always in a place that doesn't contain time. And so there's no, there's never, anything that's time-dependent can't be true. It can only be true subjectively. And subjective truth is you know, it's like a pimple. I mean, it can't stand the test. And I would only beg of you to see, we've been studying Pentecost. Pentecost sealed the finishness forever. It wasn't some little goofy thing that happened where these idiots run around and say, ga ba 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 ba, I want to buy my Honda or whatever they say. It's a finished work, and Pentecost sealed it forever. Now, listen to what he says after he says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have. And when you stand, but the kicker is, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anything, any place, any circumstance, anything that has ever happened to you. If you have any aught, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which also is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now we can have any kind of belief system we want. But I promise you, if there is any situation in your life that is an if only, or in any situation that is a what if, or I should have, or I shouldn't have, then you're not forgiving it. And so it's forgiveness is the key, the linchpin. It's the primary key of the kingdom of God. Because if you have not forgiven, then you have left the kingdom of light and returned to the kingdom of darkness. And it goes far deeper than anything you can imagine. Is there anything you want? And you've left the kingdom of heaven. You haven't forgiven the situation. Is that clear?
But it also says anything you ask, it shall be given.
Because that's, you can only ask according to his will. If you are there, we are seated on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. That place under the wings is called. It has a name. It's called the Oracle of God. And so all I'm asking you to do is to see through all things and see at that which is true and eternal, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it appears to you. You never leave peace, you never leave joy. It can't happen, because that is the place of peace and joy and forgiveness and everything else. It's not something. If you think you've got to do something other than see the end of what your mind, this closed system, then you've been deceived. But I wanted to cement in your mind, or seal. We've been studying Pentecost and what happened for a long time now. We studied counting the Omer and all the other ancient feasts. But this Pentecost sealed it. And it sealed it forever. Okay. Anybody else?
I like that picture. That was the the first atomic explosion, so to speak. But that was that going throughout time.
Yeah.
Totally reverberated.
It turned everything upside down. John, Toshana?
Korean hungry.
All righty. Take a big cut.
Thinking how people listening, we're talking about being at peace, and it's like we're in a tubercular ward, and everybody's coughing. These people really must believe they're all about to die.
We have to keep up a facade.